Welcome back to The Embodied Leader, everyone. I'm Elise Bessler, your resident voice and embodied life and leadership coach. And today, I have a really special treat for you. My business soul sister and VA, Robin Hilton, is joining me for a much-needed conversation in what I would consider to be a non-negotiable in changing the culture of coaching and leadership. We're talking about launch self-care and strategy. And no, I don't mean launching rockets into space, although sometimes the launching we'll be talking about today does feel as insurmountable as launching a rocket into space might. But this is about launching and marketing online group coaching programs and workshops and courses. Now, in my experience, Robin has been the best kept secret in the online business world. Not for long though, y'all, because her roster is filling up hella fast. But for me, she's been a steadfast rock for my own business, and you know, her wealth and knowledge and wisdom about not only business systems and strategies, but also soul-aligned creativity and really giving me honest feedback have many times pulled me out of my own sort of launch spirals in the past. So buckle up, Buttercup, get ready for this beautiful conversation with Robin Hilton. Welcome, welcome, Robin, to The Embodied Leader.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. This podcast is so amazing, so needed, and I'm just so honored to be chatting with you today.
Well, I think that this conversation that we're about to have is so needed. And so I'm so grateful that you're here to share all of the goodness that you have to offer with us, mm-hmm. with the listeners and with myself. So we're going to get to the nitty gritty of how launching can be more easeful and less stressful from both a nervous system perspective and also a strategy perspective. But Robin, why don't you share with the epic humans that are listening to this podcast a little bit about why you do what you do and also how you support people in their businesses and their launches.
Oh gosh. You know, this story, I could probably take up about an hour just telling you the story of how I got to this point. But, you know, we'll do the short version, which is I've had an online business of some form or another since my second daughter was in diapers. I joined a mom's group, and one of the moms came in with a cloth diaper on her baby. And it was like the coolest diaper. I thought cloth diapers, you know, the pins, but you know, that was in my head what cloth diapers were. And it was like this, like easy to use. Like I was like, wait, cloth diapers are cool. And so then I'm sure it'll become apparent through this conversation that I have ADHD, but hyperfixation turned on in that moment. And I just really got into cloth diapering, and like there was a whole culture, like a mom culture online. I started making custom designer, like hand dyed, absolutely beautiful cloth diapers and selling them online. So I was taking product photos, writing copy, doing launches. Like, so we would have launch day where we would promote inside the forum that was part of the cart. We would promote it like crazy, launch, and then things would just sell out. It was the most beautiful thing. It was so fun to watch. It was so fun to do. And you know, that really just hooked me into online business. And then I got into blogging because, you know, the early 2000s, late like 2010s were like blogging season, right? So as I started teaching yoga, I started blogging. So then I got really into blogging. I always made my own website, and then into coaching. And from there, the coaching, it was really, you know, launching, selling, running programs, all of this stuff. And of course, everything had a behind the scenes component to it. And I remember when I was, you know, working in my business, I would spend day, like an entire day, start to end. I'm sure you've witnessed this actually, where I'm like, hey, Elise, I'm doing my website today. And then the end of the day is like, here's my website. You know, and it's like start to end. I was just really able to get into that and really enjoyed it. And I realized at one point that I was sort of wanting to shift away from coaching because I really needed to focus those tools on myself and to really focus on doing my own work. And I thought, well, I also want to stay in this online world. Like, this is my life. So how can I do that? Well, of course, being an online business owner for that long, I had all the skills and I've been called a magical unicorn. So I serve as a VA, as an OBM, and I serve my clients, primarily women who are creating just really beautiful, wonderful businesses in the world and need support. I mean, we can't do things on our own, though I did everything on my own. And that's how I learned to do what I'm doing. I also know how hard it is to do everything on your own. And so I'm just there to be that support, that kind of like, I know how to kind of do everything kind of person. So yeah.
And you
that's
do.
My story.
And you do. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
How cool. That story about the diapers, I don't know why I did not know that.
Yeah, it's not something I talk about often.
There might have been an opportunity for that to pop into the conversation between you and I just like personally before, but yeah. That's really cool. Yeah.
It was awesome.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. So we had collectives. Like, so we had groups. We called ourselves Venus Vanguard. Like, how cool is that? And it was a group of really eclectic. Yeah. I still am Instagram friends with like these women that I met. And you know, someone had clothes, you know, someone had diapers, someone had like, you know, just, you know, knitted goods, like the knitting was like just unbelievable. And so we would have these launches where we just build anticipation as a group. It was so fun. So fun.
And that speaks so much to the importance of community, right?
Yes.
The importance
yeah.
of community and how regulating and, you know, what a felt sense of safety that brings us. I mean, let's be real, just being out there, wherever that is, on the internet, in the, you know, cyber world, can be lonely. It can feel lonely and it can feel stressful and it can be very, very dysregulating. So what a beautiful story to have that connection and community. And now you're offering that to other people, right? You're yeah. offering that support and that connection to other people. Well, I love that. Well, this conversation for me anyway, stemmed from Robin, you and I, of course, we know we talk on Marco Polo a lot, which is a yeah. video messaging app for anyone who doesn't know Marco Polo, but the majority of our relationship has been on Marco Polo, actually.
And one day we'll meet in person. One day.
We absolutely will, 100%. But this conversation that we're having today kind of stemmed from a conversation we had on Marco Polo a few months ago, where we were both feeling pretty fed up with the toxic traits of the coaching and leadership industries. And the other day you mentioned, like, I'm going into launch and you're supporting me, you're going to be supporting me through that. And I know you're supporting other, you know, other clients through launches right now. But the other day you mentioned a concept to me in one of our video communications about whimsical launches versus strategic launches.
Yeah.
And so this next question, or the question I have, is kind of twofold. I'm curious about what the difference between whimsical and strategic launches are, and then also what the biggest challenges you see people struggling with during launch yeah. or just generally in business might be.
Yeah, well, I've done both. And as someone who is really a rebel at heart, there's a part of me that's really drawn to the whimsical, right? That's really drawn to like, let's just do what feels good in the moment. And like, you know, what the content I want to create, let's just create it. And I do think that there is a possibility for success to happen with a launch like that. There's also a high probability of burnout and launch fatigue and decision fatigue and lack of clarity, because it's all just kind of like, this is what I feel. And the lack of clarity may not be as much your own as it is on the side of the people who might want to purchase your offer, because there's no strategy in how you're presenting that offer to them. So are you hitting all of the key points, or are you just hitting on the points that feel good to you in the moment to talk about? And so then you get to a point in your launch where maybe you're not having the kind of success that you want, and you've got to kind of double down, and you're like, maybe I'm just going to throw everything at this launch and hopefully something will work. And that's really stressful. And, you know, it's not to say that this can't work, this strategy for a good offer. And I like to say, like, the offer, like what is on the table makes a lot of difference, right? So if it's a good offer, it's probably going to sell if you already have a primed audience, no matter how you launch. How you feel though might, you know, you might get into the time where you have to actually, you know, deliver the program and you're exhausted. You're tired of it. You don't want to think about it anymore. And so it's not really the most sustainable strategy, especially considering your nervous system, especially, you know, because there's so many uncontrollables. And we know that trauma stems from not being able to control something. And so there's all of these uncontrollables, there's all of these. And if you're, you know, if you're prone to having PTSD or like any kind of like trigger from not knowing what's happening or not being in control, then you get into that activated state much more clearly, much more.
Yeah.
You're very much more in the activated state because that there's dysregulation around the unknowables, just period. So while it can be, you know, a lovely launch strategy, I don't think it's like a sustainable or like, you know, the most like kind to your nervous system launch strategy. So a strategized launch is something where, you know, you can do it in, you know, you can do a quick launch in 30 days. So it doesn't have to be like this long, like, you know, strategy, but I always like to compare my launches to like Taylor Swift. We've all seen Taylor Swift launch. We know that that woman can launch a product like nobody else. And she teases with like jewelry, with like, you know, this is planned out from, you know, for years in advance. And the thing about it is that it works so well because her fan base is invested in every single little thing that she does along the way. And is like, what is she going to do? Like they're anticipating something. And so when something comes, they're just like all over it. Right. And it's because there's a strategy. And, you know, I think if you listen to her song Mastermind, like that's how we need to be launching. Like every single step along the way is planned and mapped out and strategized. And so that's how I like to view a launch. You know, you've got a 3-month period where you are, you know, your content is created well in advance, your sales page is created well in advance, your, you know, every component of the launch is planned and created on a timeline so that when you get to that active selling stage, all you have to do is show up and sell.
Yeah. I think I love that. You said that to me a couple of weeks ago. You're like, what would, you know, what would support for your launch look like? Like, what would it allow you to do? And I was like, what did I say? It would allow me to breathe, you know, it would allow me to do my self-care. It would allow me to be out in, you know, at the ocean and in the woods and with my family, you know, it would allow me to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I, you know, I talk about a felt sense of safety with my clients a lot. And that being the thing, of course, polyvagal theory tells us that our bodies are always looking for that felt sense of safety. And it sounds to me like this strategy type of launch creates that felt sense of safety, right? So that everything is, you know, and I know there are some, you know, some folks out there that say that strategy isn't the most important thing, but I would say in this case it is, right? Because it allows us to have, like you say, it like it literally gets your ducks in a row and allows your nervous system to be at this more regulated state, more even keel, so that you're not always thinking.
And we hold so much as generally as women. If you are a parent, there's a lot there. If you're in a relationship, there's a lot there. So there's a lot that we hold already, and we tend to hold things here. And I know so many business owners where everything is between their ears, everything, their whole entire business, the strategy, the what I'm going to do next, like everything is here and it's not on paper, not, you know, and that's like our brains are amazing. And like, that's amazing that women can do this. And not that men can't, but I primarily work with women. I think that's where I feel this work can really, really serve because of that tendency to really, you know, to multitask and to like, you know, want to do the most. and you know, and we keep it here. And I think it's in that, you know, there's a lot. And when it gets out onto paper, when it gets into a strategy, when it gets into a system, like, you know, an Asana board or a Notion board or something, when it gets out where you can just see it, where you can visualize it as something that's not here, but there, that's safety. That right there is safety, right? That is you taking what you're holding and making it like a tangible, real thing rather than just an idea.
Tangible, real. Yeah. Getting it on paper. I'm still a pen to paper gal. I do love a good digital moment, but I have a journal next to me all the time that's just filled with notes. Sometimes I never reread them, but it's just great to get that, you know, that information out of my head onto paper. Like a brain dump, right? And I mean, I think about that, like from a nervous system perspective, right? The feelings of overwhelm, like anxiety, and I'll use, like, I'm going to put in air quotes, like overthinking or just thinking a lot, or trying to figure out, like it's a threat response, right? It's us trying to, our brains trying to mitigate all of the signals that are coming in at us. And as women, and of course, further marginalized folks, obviously we're receiving many, many signals, that we have to do all the things, right? Yeah. So this is like a cultural piece that runs pretty deep as well. So I know that feeling. I was just going to say, I know that feeling well, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty ingrained in the experiences that I've had in my business up until now, because it's like, I made a decision, I'm going to say a couple of months ago, where I'm like, I'm not doing business that way anymore. You know, I'm just not. If I want to be where I want to be, it's going to require onboarding help. You know, it's going to require me not being the everything. And it's been a long time coming, you know, for sure. So when somebody does feel overwhelmed and feels like they don't have the capacity, and I imagine that a lot of folks that come to you feel that way. And you have, I mean, you have such great tools, right? You have the coaching tools as well, which is, I mean, I said in my intro earlier that you're like the best kept secret in online business for now, but for now. Like that people are, you know, going
watch
to
watch out Amy Porterfield.
It's true though. Like, because you have that extra, I mean, there's that extra, you know, goodness that you have this ability to help people really parse through what it is that they're struggling with. So what I'm curious about from you is, when somebody does feel that overwhelm and feels like they don't have the capacity or they're above capacity, how do you begin the process of easing off with them? Like, what's the first thing you would suggest for them if they're feeling overwhelmed?
You know, I've had many different kinds of onboarding calls or even like clarity calls with someone who is at that point where it's like, okay, this has gotten to be a little more than I can handle, and I'm dropping balls, and, or, you know, or they've got a really wonderful coach who was like, it's time.
Yeah.
Time for you to get some help in your business. And very often it's a coach who says to their client, like, you need help. you need to look for a VA. It's time for you to do that. And so when I do a clarity call, we just talk about their business, and onboarding calls look like this too, where we just talk about, you know, how do all of the parts fit together? What, you know, where are the offers right now? You know, how are the clients getting served? How is program being delivered? All of those moving parts, we talk about them. And then I just ask, like, what's your system right now? And so often it's like, oh, it's just here. It's in my head. Or it's like, you know, I don't have a system, or a lot of repetitive tasks, you know, like the same email getting written over and over and over again from scratch, you know, or, you know, so a lot of that kind of thing. And so I just look at what seems to be taking up their time, and, is taking them away from actually doing the things that they got into business to do, which is serving their clients. Sometimes it's showing up on social media, but sometimes they don't want to do that. They're doing that too much and it's taking up time. It may be writing. It may be, you know, there's things that they would rather be doing than all of this like repetitive kind of stuff that is happening because they don't have systems. So the first thing we do is just set up systems, you know, and everyone kind of has an idea of how they want that system to look or feel. Some people like a very organized, structured system, and some people like something that's got a little more flow and a little more creativity. And so we just find the system that works, we try it out, and then we refine. So we meet once a week and like, how is this working? Is this the, and then we refine and we get better and better and better at it as we go.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And that, you know, going back to that first question that we kind of talked about, that felt sense of safety, right? That system, that organization creates that felt sense of safety so that other, you know, and I think about like the regulation of the nervous system and how we can better make decisions when we have the ducks in a row, when we have the systems, and when we have capacity and space in our brain to be able to make those choices. Yeah,
exactly. It's not you can even just have something to reference when you're making a decision, right? Like you have maybe a calendar to reference to see if like, actually, do I have time in 6 months to say yes to this thing that I want to say yes to? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're in a launch, like, do I have time to take this other thing on during my launch? Or should I actually, is that a no? You know, it's really about, you know, once you have those systems, the decision making can be a little more informed. And we love a good informed decision. it's a good thing. I think there was something I was going to say about systems, but it's gone, so when it comes back I will just blurt it out.
And but maybe one of the next questions I ask you might kind of encourage that. Well, why don't we do a final round of questions? I'm not going to call it a rapid fire round, because that to me, like, to say rapid fire, I know my nervous system would be like, oh my God, that means I have to answer them.
Do I have to answer them quickly?
The answer is no. You answer them as you have, as you have the capacity and the time to do. So no pressure.
Okay.
What is your go-to non-negotiable organizational app or support in your own business, or what you suggest? I know you've mentioned a couple already today, but what's your go-to?
My pen.
Sweet. I'm laughing because I thought you were going to say something really technical, but.
A good pen.
That's badass. Yeah. That's so badass. I seriously thought you were going to be like a Notion or Asana or something like that. But yeah, no, a pen. Received, heard.
Yeah.
Okay. I love this next question. What would your Desert Island top three tools be for coaches and leaders? Now, here's the thing. Obviously, there's a caveat that you would have Wi-Fi on the Desert Island to run an online business.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Camera.
Yeah.
Of some sort. Mm-hmm. A way to communicate with like who you are and what you're about. So you would have a computer. Is that do you have to have a computer, or do you like, is that the Wi-Fi is just there?
Wi-Fi is there. I would say, okay, let's say this. Yeah, really good question. So let's say there's Wi-Fi and some sort of device.
Okay.
So like a Wi-Fi phone or computer, because we know we can run a business on a phone too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a way to take pictures, because if you're on a desert island, you're going to want to share that.
Yeah.
That beauty.
Love that.
And then tools. Oh gosh, this is a really great question. I would just choose Notion as a tool because it does everything.
Tell us about Notion. I'm curious about Notion.
It's like a combination. I like to describe it as a combination between like an Excel spreadsheet or a Google spreadsheet, a Google Doc, like, so working in the same sort of functionality as being ultimately shareable. And then you could put little comments in, you know how Google Docs are awesome for that.
Yeah.
And your notes app. on your phone. And so the possibilities are kind of endless, and seeing like other people's ways of like using Notion. And so, you know, you can manage your projects, you can manage your clients, you can, I have like a whole template that I created for a launch strategy. So for a DIY launch strategy, start to finish, you can write your sales page in there. You can write your sales letter, your sales. And it's like, then it's there, it's repeatable, right? Mm-hmm. The next time you launch, you've got, yeah, all my assets are here. Everything that I created for that launch is here. So, you know, it's got storage. It can hook up to Google. It can hook up to everything. Like, it's great. And then I would say like some kind of like booking system, like a Google Calendar would probably be my choice, right? Because you can still make appointments. Like, I don't think you need like a Calendly or Acuity. Like, you can talk to people and make appointments. So some way to organize your day, Google Calendar, a Notion, some sort of project management system, and your phone.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite way, your favorite way to regulate your nervous system when you feel overwhelmed?
I go outside. Outside, we have a beautiful garden. I am so grateful that I literally can just go out in my backyard and sit in trees and touch grass and just be in nature, watch the birds, hear some water tinkling, or, you know, hear the leaves in the trees, and I'm good.
Yeah. Let the trees hold your shit for a while. Just like,
always.
Yeah, just let them like, let them hold it. You get to be you. Yeah. And it's
Yeah.
true, people. Robin has a beautiful garden.
I
It's
do.
Absolutely stunning.
I do.
Okay, one final question. What's next in the world of coaching? What's next in the world of entrepreneurship?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I am biased. I think it's the work you're doing. Honestly, but I think there's a theme in that,
yeah,
which is, I think that we are really tired of operating in a way where, well, at least I'm tired of operating in a way where money seems to take precedence over bodies, humans, people, hearts, souls, you know, and it's, to me, taking care of people and being a coach who is, you know, who is not in it. Because honestly, like, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I think the coaching industry, and this is a controversial take, but I think it's true, it's a bit of a pyramid scheme. And I think we can get away from that.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a huge amount of value in coaching. And I see the coaches who are very successful monetarily,
yeah,
are business coaches. But there are so many other kinds of coaches out there doing amazing work in other areas of coaching, where people are really experiencing profound growth and change and ability to reach their desires. You know, it's not that it's replacing therapy, it's that it's complementing therapy. If you've done years of therapy,
yeah,
and you get a coach after years of therapy, you're right, because you know how to regulate, you know how to take care of yourself, you know like what you need.
Yeah.
And then you work with a coach and you're off.
It's
right?
That next
so,
level.
Yeah.
It's
and so if we can get back to coaching being about people and serving people and helping people become who they are at their deepest part and let that be in the world, I think that's, and you know, we don't do that. You know, I see my work as, you know, I work with coaches who are doing that. So that's why I'm like, oh, these people are doing these amazing things. I see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even see business coaches that I am working with who are in it, like, and doing really heartfelt, beautiful things. And so, I mean, I could go on and on and on about this, but I do think the next step is that we're going to start thinking about humans, and not money so darn much. It doesn't matter if you're a six-figure coach, like, $75,000 a year has been shown to be the amount of money that people need to make in order to be their happiest. Mm-hmm. More than that?
Yeah. And I think that there are ways, and I know there are plenty of folks out there who are, you know, working in the business coaching world that are also changing the culture, you know, or working towards changing the culture, that I think like wanting more than that is great. Let's change. And this is what that initial conversation was that you and I had. Let's change the way we do it so that we're not stepping. And this is exactly what you just said. So we're not stepping on other people to get to that place.
Yeah.
Right. Like if more than 75,000 is what you want, cool. Let's do that in an ethical way that isn't harming, isn't harming people. Oh, I love that. That was a beautiful, beautiful.
Well, and I think if we just stop focusing on the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's, you know, it's not about how much money I'm making. Mm-hmm. I want to be able
it's about
to
the serving.
I want to live. I want to be able to live my life, you know, relatively stress-free. And I know economic stability is part of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie and say that if I made millions of dollars that I would give back, that's trickle-down economics. It's not true. It's not what people do. Mm-hmm. I just want more. And so I, you know, I think that we just need to talk about like, you know, capitalism doesn't need to be a part of this anymore, this industry anymore. It needs to be about people.
Yeah. Yeah. And removing the toxicity. The toxicity. I'm going to be running a workshop in a couple of weeks. By the time this airs, it'll be in a couple of weeks, called Three Toxic Traits About the Coaching Industry and How You Love Can it. Avoid Them.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Three and toxic traits. Yeah.
Everyone needs to go to that.
Please come to that workshop. Yes, you will learn lots. All right, Robin, I just am so grateful. I'm grateful for you. You know, I already did a gushy, beautiful, gushy intro about you, but I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for you coming on here and sharing all of this. And I know that the listeners of The Embodied Leader will receive so much from what you shared, all the wisdom you shared. Tell the folks who are listening where they can reach you, where they can follow you, and anything else that they should know.
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram at robinjoy_virtualassistant. That is where I'm hanging out. I have 40 different Instagram accounts at this point, but that's where I'm hanging out right now. Yep. And you know what? I'm just gonna keep it simple. Come find me there.
Amazing.
It's really where I'm doing the most right now. My website, robinjoy.ca. You can check that out too.
Amazing. Yeah, and everything you need to know about Robin's work is on her Instagram. So
it is.
Yeah, you do some great posts on sharing all of the goodness and all the value you offer. So thank you so much for being here, and folks, check out Robin. Folks, this has been another episode of The Embodied Leader, a spot on the interwebs and the airwaves where you can get to know your nervous system a little bit better so that you can show up in your life and your leadership and your work with a little bit more ease and a lot less stress. Follow me over on Instagram at Elise Bessler, on YouTube at The Embodied Leader, and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts at The Embodied Leader. Now, I mentioned the Embodied Leader Incubator in this episode, and the doors are officially open for this 3-month program for coaches and folks in leadership. And it's where you can become a part of the inevitable change that's coming in the coaching and leadership industries. This is where you get to learn how to regulate your own nervous system so that you can show up with airtight integrity and trauma-informed care, both for yourself and for your clients. Click the link in the show notes to book a discovery call to see if this program might be a good fit for you. See you next time on The Embodied Leader.